हरिः ॐ
सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Okay, page 46, Sutra 116. Gaunas chen not mashabdat. If you argue that Brahman, described by words, is Brahman covered by material gunas, the answer is no, because the text mentions the word atma in relation to Brahman. Right? Because otherwise the idea is atma, then they'll say, okay, that's the jiva who's an illusion. Right, so that can be described. Here it means, no, Atma means the Supreme Lord. That's the whole thing. That Brahman which is describable is not Brahman covered by Sattva Guna, Gauna. Why? Because of the word Atma seen in the following text. The Lord, Atma, a type of person, existed before creation. Vajasaneya Samhita. Before the material world was manifest, the Supreme Lord, Atma, alone existed. Nothing else existed. He then thought, let me create the material planets. Aitreya Aranyaka. Right, so the point is the term Atma can also refer to the Lord, because Atma means, you know, basically living entity. So he is technically the living entity, right? And then everything else expands from him, right?
So we found first living
entity? Yes, we have. We have.
Missing link.
Yes, we have. Yeah. And strange, his name's not Lucy.
Right. I mean, you never know.
Right?
These things.
Yeah. And he seems to prefer pearls, not diamonds. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this guy.
Huh? Yes. Before the creation, the Lord is described by the word Atma, non-material, not belonging to the material gunas. It was previously explained, Vedanta Sutra 112, that the word Atma primarily applies to the perfect Brahman. Smriti say, Varanti tat tattva viras tattvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. The knowers of truth call this truth advayam jnana, the supreme conscious being, who is called Brahman by the jnanis, Paramatma by the yogis, and Bhagavan by the devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11. O Maitreya, the word Bhagavan means the pure, most powerful supreme Brahman, the cause of all causes, Vishnu Purana. Right? Because we generally take it Brahman as meaning Brahma Jyoti, but here Brahman means transcendental substance. Right? So he's the supreme transcendental substance. Right? So that makes sense? Yeah. Thus, the Smritis also declare that this pure Brahman can be described by words. That which cannot be described by words should not be discussed in the scriptures. Footnote 38. Means, yeah. Why discuss something that can't be discussed? That would be stupid. Right? So the scriptures that they're discussing it means you can discuss it, can be described.
The discussion of no discussion.
Yes, the discussion of no discussion, yes.
Does that exist? Is there anything that can't be described? If the Lord can be described?
No, everything can be described. Mm-hmm. But it's just a matter of whether the Lord reveals. See, by just proper performance of the activity, then the Lord, you know, revealing anything other than himself, then is quite straightforward. Right. Himself, then that's only if there's that devotion.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's why even these other paths of karma and jnana actually aren't effective without bhakti. You know, because otherwise, how do you know Brahman, who is the Lord, without some element of bhakti? But because that bhakti is temporary, that's why they only get to a certain degree. They only get up to the Brahman platform. But if that bhakti is permanent or coming in parampara, then that will take you through all the way to Bhagavan.
When we say temporary bhakti, how do we define that?
Temporary means it'll be, how you say, bhakti misra gyan, or bhakti misra yoga.
So sometimes
like this.
Manifest, sometimes.
It means they're using it to get their goal, which is less than bhakti.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, it's just like, let us say for the person who's interested in establishing economics and morality, justice, that kind of thing. Now, if you just do it on itself, the problem is this very, you know, mercenary.
Yeah.
And so it's not good. You can't sell pranamoy generally on its own.
No.
You have to use dharma to sell it. So that's the thing. You're using something higher for something lower. Or it's I identify with body. I want, and so this body has certain restrictions that can be done and not done. I don't like that. I want to be independent. I want to be free to do whatever I want. So therefore, what do I say to establish that point that I can do whatever I want? I say I'm not this body.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we're devotees, we're not this body, so we don't have to follow all these rules that I find restrictive. But anybody else has got to follow all the rules that I think should be there. Right? In other words, restriction must be there for everybody else, otherwise what's the point of my freedom?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is higher things will be used. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Pradhan was described as asabdam, indescribable by words. Is that in the sense of not able to be completely described? Or not described at all?
You have the aspect that it's beyond also the material manifestation. So just like the Lord, it can't be described from that aspect. So from the mundane concept in that, it can't be described. But it's not that words can't be used as a medium to understand, as the Lord reveals. Because the Pradhan basically just means a homogeneous kichari of the 24 elements. So other than that, what's to describe? But it does describe that aspect of darkness. It's just very like peaceful and quiet. It means nothing's happening.
But ascending,
so it's
process.
Inert.
Can't describe.
No. It's inert, so only by descending. But that's all there is to say. Just like Brahman, we say it's unlimited, this, that. But it is saguna, so you could describe more. But, you know, the general gist is there. But Pradhan is just there's the 24 elements that are doing nothing, just homogeneously. You know, I guess that would be holistic, you know.
Ones.
Yeah, like that. So it just is kind of like just this very inert, peaceful mass of ignorance. Because that's basically what it is. Then when the Lord glances, then it separates. Then you get Mahat, which is, you know, vibrant and conscious and like that. Okay, footnote 38. In a morning walk, Srila Prabhupada discusses the idea of spiritual matters being, quote, beyond words, end quote. Amoga. Whenever we place a good argument with them, they say, yes, but all these words are just words, and actually it is beyond words. The truth is beyond words, so never mind. Prabhupada, you are talking words. You are not beyond. Please stop. You are talking because you are not beyond. You are talking also like me. Right? Does that make sense? It means we're making the point. They're arguing like anything because they think they can, you know, get somewhere. When they find we make a point that they can't get anywhere, then they just say, oh, it's all words, so nothing can be described, so just leave it. It doesn't. But the point is if it's just words, they're also speaking just words. So therefore, if it can't be described, then what's the use of their words? You know, that's the whole point. So why are they talking? You know, it's like I'm talking, you're saying that's just words. You're also talking, that's just words. You know. Paramahamsa. They say that the absolute truth is beyond words. That way we don't have to explain anything about it. Prabhupada. So we don't say beyond words. You say, but you are talking, therefore you cannot speak about the absolute truth. Why are you holding meetings, big meeting arrangements? Why do you make? That is word. You are using words, canvassing. Why do you say beyond words? The word is helping you. Better hate to talk with them. Better hate? Probably better not. Yeah, probably. Or you can hate to talk with them. Yeah. I hate talking with those guys. Yes, don't talk with them. So lower grade men they are. It is useless to talk with them. Morning walk, Perth. May 12th, 1975. Really? Amoga in Perth?
It's been a week there.
But Amoga, he's Australian.
No, but he was in Australia.
At the time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because generally Amoga is always in Bombay. Before. Oh, okay. Yeah, so the point is, those that use this means are happy to have all these words, talk all this talk, canvassing, trying to do all this stuff, and then when you catch them, then they say, oh, you can't describe us beyond words. He's basically probably saying, why talk with such people? They're just, low-grade men. Because actually a higher-grade man, if he's going to use words, then he should be responsible for them. But if they're just going to use it as a ploy, it's that they're not looking for the absolute truth. That's the point of the low grade. They're only looking that this is what they're into, this is what they're attached to, so this is what they're, going to discuss. And when they find that we proved them wrong, then they can't be wrong. So they're not looking for the absolute. Is that what I'm saying?
The Four Sutra. To Saman Bhayat, mm-hmm. It was saying that it is possible to
yes.
describe. Now they again saying that it is possible to describe our words. Is
yes,
just
but
more
it's in the same Adhikarana that you can describe the Lord by words, right? That's the whole point. That's the whole Adhikarana. So then, how do you say? But now it's saying, we've said it can be described by words. That's your Shastra, you can describe by words. But then they're saying, okay, but the words that you're describing, that is about the Supreme as the mode of goodness. You know, the best quality of mode of goodness. That's not actually about the Absolute. So that's what's being addressed here. You know, it's a finer. So, yeah. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Yeah. It's just something to note here is that the Acharyas have no problem quoting the same verse again. And again, and from different angles. So you can say, okay, in this one discussion, in this verse, and then when he goes to the next sutra, uses it again, okay, that's okay. But here it's in the same point. He's just given the verse, then he gives another one, gives a little point, then gives it again. Right? So is there so many different angles? You'll see here Baladeva is doing that. Jiva Goswami does this a lot. Sandarbhas, you'll come across that many times. He's giving one argument, and the same verse comes up many times.
The save may also be to deepen the reader's understanding of the verse, that every
yes.
time we go over it, it's
yes. helpful. Yes, definitely. But there'll be vichar, there'll be
yes.
some other aspect
yes.
that's coming out. Yeah. Yeah. So footnote 39. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport, the absolute truth is both subject and object, and there's no qualitative difference there. Therefore, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan are qualitatively one and the same. The same substance is realized as impersonal Brahman by the students of the Upanishads, as localized Paramatma by the Hiranyagarbhas, or the yogis, and as Bhagavan by the devotees. Right? So the Hiranyagarbhas would be yogis, we understand, they're meditating on super soul, but Hiranyagarbhas means they understand how the Lord is the super soul of the universe, how he's entered into everything, how everything's coming from him. You know, so the thousand-headed Purusha, that aspect. So both the yogis and the Hiranyagarbhas, they go to Brahma Loka, like that.
Yogis are generally worshipping, meditating on Kirudakshaya Vishnu.
Yeah, Kirudakshaya Vishnu. While Hiranyagarbhas are on Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. But both are super soul. But one is the localized super soul, and the other is the super soul of the universe. Mm-hmm. Like that. So how he's entered into everything. One is he's entered everything, there. The other is how he's entering, how he's pervading. In a sense, slightly different mood.
Are there any whose sadhana is to meditate on Mahavishnu?
It'd be the same, because if you're on him, it would probably be how it comes from here, and then. So he's just the central feature. Because from there, Kirudakshaya Vishnu, before that, Mahavishnu. But that principle of how. In other words, you're focusing more on the primary creation, mm-hmm. as opposed to. The primary creation, how from there then there's the secondary, as opposed to he as Kirudaksha has entered that secondary creation. Is that something? Yeah, slightly different, but it's the same.
So yogis were on Kirudaksha Vishnu. Who was on Garbhodaksha Vishnu again?
Hiranyagarbhas.
Hiranyagarbhas.
Who are Hiranyagarbhas?
We just mentioned. They're the ones who meditate on Garbhodaksha Vishnu. Because he's Hiranyagarbha.
That's by definition who they are.
Means you want to know which, how you say, what do you call it? What's it called? Not the club. Chapter. You want to know which chapter from which city and whether they're, riding on choppers or bobbers or, or as a combination. Or anybody has a trike.
Just some context.
Context means that there are persons who, for their meditation on the Supreme, meditate on Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, on how all the different things of the creation are all coming from him. You understand? That's different from the yogis who are meditating on Kirudakshaya Vishnu, how he's entered everything. The other one is how through his energies he's pervading everything. And this one is how he's himself is entered. It's just two aspects of the same thing. Because when we say super soul, that means Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, it means Kirudakshaya Vishnu. So it's just a matter of which aspect. So yogis are focusing on Kirudakshaya, the Hiranyagarbhas, they're focusing on Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I've just never encountered it.
No, but there's a lot of things we haven't encountered. So that's why we study scriptures, so we encounter them. Is that what you say?
Can we see the Brahmavadis? Because it says they study the Upanishads and realize the impersonal Brahman.
Is that what it says there? No, because that's the next group. So the same says realizes impersonal Brahman by the students of the Upanishads. That's one group.
Oh, right.
Then, as localized Paramatma,
gotcha.
By the Hiranyagarbhas or the yogis, right? Does that make sense? So the yogis aren't going back to the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu feature, while the Hiranyagarbhas are.
Sure.
Right. So, yes.
Can we say they are both yogis and Hiranyagarbhas can be designated as yogis, kind of?
No, but you would say they're both focused on Paramatma. But the Hiranyagarbhas, it's not necessarily that they follow the, how you say, Germanic pretzel process. You know what I'm saying? Like that. They just, that's more about knowledge and understanding the Lord and all that. So it doesn't have all the other things. It's not that. Probably one is more of an active meditation, the other is more of a passive. You're sitting, you're in your asana, you're meditating, like that. And then, once you get, then you could move around. But these ones is probably just in their day-to-day life, seeing the Lord, how he's pervading everything.
And what's their destination?
Both of them go to Brahmaloka.
Not to Mahakalapura.
Probably if they want to merge into Paramatma, then they go to Mahakalapura. But otherwise, they'll go to Brahma, and they'll stay, and when Brahma leaves, after Brahma's death, when he goes, then they'll go with him, wherever he goes. That was explained. Who explained that? I think it was, Brihad Bhagavatam Rita explained. I'm not sure if Laghu didn't explain. But And is Bhagavan by the devotees. In other words, Bhagavan, or the personality of Godhead, is the last word of the absolute truth. Paramatma is the partial representation of the personality of Godhead, and impersonal Brahman is the glowing effulgence of the personality of Godhead, as the sun rays are to the sun god. Less intelligent students of either of the above schools sometimes argue in favor of their own respective realization, but those who are perfect seers of the absolute truth know well that above the three features of the one absolute truth are different perspective views seen from different angles of vision. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11 purport. So all these three are correct. Just the Bhagavan is the origin of the other two. Right? Because he's there, so therefore the localized feature, how he comes in, is just, in other words, he's there, but because you're only accepting that aspect of him as super soul, that he doesn't relate as Bhagavan. It's not that he's not Bhagavan, but it's just we're not relating him like that. And then Brahman just means this effulgence. So some people only see that much, or that's all they're interested in. Right? You know what I'm saying? It'd be like, you have the probably gives the idea that the sun rays, the sun globe, and then the sun god. Because the sun god, he has his activities, his interactions, his this. But it's the sun globe, that's his, you know, formal service. Yeah. Does that make sense? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23. I am always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudeva in pure Krishna consciousness, Satvam Vishuddham. Krishna consciousness is always pure consciousness, in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Vasudeva, is revealed without any covering. Apavritaha. Footnote 40. This Bhagavatam verse is stated by Lord This Bhagavatam verse is a statement Lord Shiva makes to his wife Sati, explaining why he did not rise in Daksha's assembly. In his commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains how Shiva, in his pure consciousness, meditates on the highest conception of Brahman, devoid of all coverings, and his realization is ultimately personal. In this way, the Mayavad understanding of Saguna and Nirguna are erroneous. Okay, so he's starting from this aspect, from this side. But the point is it's the person. It's just that there's the medium up here. Because why would that be a natural position for him to meditate in that way? Right? Because of his position. Who's his wife? Right, the material energy. So, and how is all the manifestations happening? Because of Brahman. So he's taught here a pure Brahman. So that takes it back to the person. But it's how the Lord, as Brahman, everything's happening, how he enters it as the super soul, as Sankarshan, and then how there's the original person who then all this is expanding from. Does that make sense? So the flavor is from staking from this side, going to that side, but it's a permanent thing. We'll start from this side and get to that side. Once you get to that side, that's where it will stay. It won't adjust. But for him, because he's always dealing with the material energy, then he'll always see it in that way. And that makes his, you know, uniqueness, how he's the greatest Vaishnava, but at the same time, it's a different flavor. Is that... Yeah.
Does Sadashiva have that same,
yeah, because his wife is there, you know, it'd probably be, you know, a little less have to worry about all the finer things, because they're just dealing in the primary creation. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, because the secondary is what then Shambhu and Trigunamayi will take care of. But as Sadashiva, then they're just living in, you know, Mahakalapura. But in the personal aspect, not the impersonal aspect. Okay. The pure Antakarana is called Vasudeva because there the Supreme Lord appears without coverings. In that Antakarana, I worship the Supreme Lord Vasudeva beyond the material senses by offering respects. So this continues here? Okay. How could you be in samadhi at that time? So that's the question. Who's asking? His wife.
Seems to me. Looks like he's discussing with her.
He's discussing with her. Okay, because she's asked. Okay. That cannot be asked, since samadhi on the Lord is not dependent on me. I am dependent on the Lord. I cannot make a rule for when he will appear. The spiritual Antakarana, Vishuddha Sattvam, is called Vasudeva. Or another meaning is the spiritual state, Sattvam, composed of the actions of Chit Shakti, Vishuddham, is the producer of the Lord's appearance, Vasudeva. Why? It is because in that spiritual mind, or the state composed of the Chit Shakti, the Lord without covering, Apavrita, called Vasudeva, appears. The meaning of the word Vasudeva is he who makes his appearance in the state of Vasudeva. In the Antakarana, Sattve, the Lord appears, but he is beyond the material senses, Adhokshaja, and is served or is particularly meditated upon, Vidhiyate, by respects, Namasa, which indicates other services as well. Sardatta Darshini 4.3.23. Okay, so talking about the state of existence on the transcendental platform, right? So that's the Vasudeva platform. Now, he's seeing it uncovered, right? So then there's nothing that's blocking, so he's seeing beyond just the Brahman state. Right. So then he's seeing through to the person. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's the state of existence. So all living entities, before the secondary creation, they're all existing in this state of Vasudeva. But they all have different states of consciousness. Mm-hmm. Right. So
uncovered like he is?
No, because some will be, they're on that transcendental platform. Because there is no material body, there is, you know, so therefore, technically no material concept. But it's not that they don't have the pollution of I'm the controller and enjoyer. So depending upon that position, when the secondary creation happens, then they're put into that creation according to that particular consciousness. Right? So because that the universe has ended, everything's gone back into the Lord, so where's the covering as such for the living entity? And the way there is no gross body, there is no gross identity. Mm-hmm. But he still has the desires left from previously. It's just like you have desires, you go to sleep, when you wake up in the morning, you remember those desires and continue on the day. That's that point. So in between, they're in the Vasudeva Sattva. So there, but that Vasudeva Sattva is actually an impersonal state. You know, I'm saying it's just Brahman. But it's full of living entities. Then that goes down to, how you say? When the creation is there, then they're placed according to their, you know, where they're placed back where, continue where they left off before they went to sleep. So whatever it is where they end, that's where they're going to start again.
To each according to his need and by each according to his ability.
Yes, yes. Like that. But that's how you say. But there are also, how you say, in the next manifestation, there's also barbers who could take care of all that hair and beard. Does that make sense? So in this way, you can say is the Brahman is pervaded by living entities, but that's specifically here. Otherwise, the Brahman is the Lord, but all the living entities are within the Lord. So we don't have to worry about it outside, or they're all floating around. You know, it's just a matter of, that's the position they're in. So Mahakalapur is just full of these living entities. And then when the creation takes place, they go into the material world. Those who are absorbed in Brahman, they'll stay there. And at some point when they get bored, then Lord Shiva will put them into the creation. Like that. So, being absorbed in the Lord, then that just deep sleep and that nothingness, they get their voidism. Right? Then, in this state before the secondary creation during the primary, then they're in the state of Vasudeva, so they're all tasting the impersonal, the oneness. Then, when the secondary takes place, then they come down into karma. Right? So, what's it? Raga, dvesha, bhaya, krodha. Means all those states of attachment, how you say, envy, and anger. They get to taste all those. You know, so it's just a matter of which state. Now, some of them prefer those other two, so they maintain those inside the universe. But otherwise, they go through those three stages. Everybody goes through those.
Antakarana would be Vasudev Sahna.
Yes. That's what it's meaning here. Vishuddha Sattvam is Vasudeva. Spiritual state composed of the actions of Chit Shakti is a producer of the Lord's appearance, right? So that means the Lord is appearing because of the Chit Shakti, right? But that's still based on the position of the spiritual state, right? Because the Lord exists, but he exists in the spiritual state. So based on that, right, and then that composed of the actions of the Chit-Shakti. So the Chit-Shakti would be functioning within that existence. Right? Because Chit-Shakti has to exist. So because existence is there, then the Chit-Shakti is manifesting. And then from that manifests the Lord's pastimes. Right? So Sat's the existence, Chit will be the activities, Ananda will be the, you know, the how you say, the manifestation of the Lord in his pastimes. So Chit will make arrangements. Is that? Yeah. Okay, Srila Prabhupada expands. We're trying to keep up with the Joneses here. Huh? You think it yesterday, you know, you got it. Also.
No, this is still Jagannath Kirtan.
Oh, it is still Jagannath Kirtan. Oh, okay, so sorry.
Way behind.
Yeah, you got a lot of catching up. Through the Prophet expands.
Make a 6-page book.
When the Supreme Personality of Godhead reveals himself to the pure devotee has no other duty than to offer him respectful obeisances. The absolute truth reveals himself to the devotee in his form. He is not formless. Vasudeva is not formless. It is stated in this verse that as soon as the Lord reveals himself, the devotee offers his obeisances. Obeisances are offered to a person, not to anything impersonal. One should not accept the Mayavad interpretation that Vasudeva is impersonal. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Prapyadyate, one surrenders. One surrenders to a person, not to impersonal non-duality. Whenever there is a question of surrendering or offering obeisances, there must be an object of surrender of obeisances. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.23 purport. Yeah, so we see the Vasudeva, that's that state of existence. And that state of existence, then from that, then you have the chit is making arrangements, and then from that, then the Lord manifests his form and pastimes. Right? Now, all that comes from the Lord. Right? But this is how the Lord, in other words, he is self-sufficient. This is the meaning. So his own existence and all the backup is all him. And then he performs his activities. Well, we want to perform activities, but we need backup from others. He can do everything himself. You know? Like that. He's the complete, you know, how you say, you know, the complete troop, right? You know, so he's having his pastimes with the devotees, but it's also by expansions of his, and then all the backup to have all those arrangements and all the existence and attitudes of that are all there also. Does that make sense? Yeah. This would give another aspect of how you say, what were we talking before of Lord Shiva, is that he's Sada Shiva, then is non different from the Mahavishnu. So there's that aspect of dealing with the external energy, right? But he's doing it as Sada Shiva, right? So that means that Vasudeva aspect there is the existence, right? So, mm-hmm. So you have the Icha as Krishna, you have the Kriya as Balaram, you have the Jnana is Vasudeva. You understand? Mm-hmm. So. Does that make sense? So that Vasudeva is from there all the way down. Because from him expands Sankarshan, from then the Mahavishnu, from like this. Mm-hmm. Right? And so then that aspect of expansion of Sankarshan, then you get Sadashiva. Mm-hmm. So this aspect of, he is the Lord of that aspect of the energies of the Lord. So naturally, that's going to be his position on meditating on Krishna. Mm-hmm.
He went inside. There he is, on your arm.
Oh, just a spider. Okay.
It's a little guy.
Yeah, just one. Yeah, they don't bite.
That's just the cat.
That marks on that guy. He's still here. And he was being nice.
Yeah.
He's not buying the finger. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
So in other words, for Lord Shiva to be thinking in this way, because he's actually a transformation of that aspect of Krishna, the Vishnu Tattva, who is the Lord of the Jnana Shakti, yes. Which means the existence of everything, right? Yes. And the attitude of everything. So what's the proper attitude is devotion. Yes. So that way then Lord Shiva would be, that's his point, is the existence. So he's dealing with the existence specifically of within the Mahatattva. The material aspect, mm-hmm. that pastime, mm-hmm. right? While in original form is Vasudeva, then that's going to be with his internal potency, mm-hmm. right? While Shiva is dealing with the external potency, this is a transformation. So just as he's a transformation, she's a transformation. Mm-hmm. But the point is it's still about existence, mm-hmm. right? And attitude. So the attitude is for devotion. So the material world is meant for devotion. Spiritual world, that's natural. Material world is meant for devotion. So that's why he would be the greatest Vaishnava. Because the proper understanding of existence in the Lord and the proper attitude of devotion towards the Lord, then he would embody that. Mm-hmm. So, does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Can we say that Shiva is an extension of Sadashiva? Or they both come from Sankarshan as part...
It's Sada Shiva then Shambhu. So, depending, because they're one principle. So Sada Shiva is as, or Shambhu is all the same principle. That you're dealing with the material energy and empowering this material energy, the prayers to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, the Hiranyagarbha Shukta. If you didn't know what it was, you would think that they were prayers to Lord Shiva. Like that. But actually, it's just dealing with the Lord, because the Lord is also known as Tamasi. Because he's the controller of the material energy. He enters everything. So in that way, he's known as that. So that aspect is that Shiva aspect. But that's coming from Vishnu. So it's Vishnu who's doing it, than as this aspect there. That's the point, is they're all non-different. So depending which angle you're looking at, you'll bring that aspect out. you know, like we'll say Krishna is controlling the material energy, but he, but at the same time, he only deals with his internal potency, because he deals with the internal transforms into the external, and then carries out. But so that means he's controlling. Does that make sense? You know, the mayor says something to the police commissioner, and the police commissioner sends out some policemen. Right? So something's happening, but that's happening because of the mayor. You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference, but a non-difference.
Can we say technically that Sankarshan extended into Mahavishnu, while Sadashiv extended into Shambhu as well?
That's there, but it's not necessarily a parallel. But yeah, but at the same time, as Mahavishnu is Sankarshan, but he's not the original Chatur Vyuha. You know, that's in Mathura. That original Chatur Vyuha from that Sankarshan then expanded the Sankarshan of Mahavishnu. Right. So generally, you wouldn't count there. You would just count back to Vasudeva. Right. So you have Aniruddha as Kirudaksha Vishnu, Prajumna as Garbhadaksha Vishnu, Sankarshan as Mahavishnu, and he's expanding then, therefore, from Vasudeva. So that way you have the Chatur Vyuha. Does that sound sense?
Sometimes it's described that Lord Shiva meditates upon Sankarshan.
Yes. Yeah, because that's where he's expanded from. Because it's the Sankarshan aspect that has that flavor of Shiva. That's in Balaram, but Balaram doesn't manifest it. You only see is that the aspect of Sankarshan, one, he attracts and things like that. You just see that aspect, the positive. He establishes the religious principles, chastises those who are not, that aspect. But you don't see the actual dealing with the material energy aspect in Balaram, but it's latent in him.
I looked for the word describing that. I couldn't find it.
In the Lagu Bhagavatamrita.
Couldn't find it.
In our thing, because it was there that we came across it. Back again. Must be something.
Determined.
Must be recovered with bugs.
He also has a red
eye. Ask me if you can.
Could be a money spider.
Money spider?
The little ones, they run all over you. It means money's coming.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Oh. I should have left them on. Yes. He's still there.
Yeah. Okay. Really? Where's money? Where's that from? It's just a
shastra.
Nimitta. It's a thing of Nimitta.
Some sort of non-Vedic shastra.
I see. Is that the shastra has when you drop the brick on your toe, then what auspicious thing it's talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. So are we clear on this about Shiva and Vasudeva and this aspect? Because here Vasudeva, we're talking about the person Vasudeva, but we're also talking about the position of existence, right? Because here in this aspect, then Vasudeva means he's the Lord of existence. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Is there any relationship? Why is Lord Shiva particularly attracted to Lord Ram and not Lord Krishna? Why is Lord Ram also have this element of Sankarshan in
him? Not so much, but there's that dharma. He does all that, so that's he's living that lifestyle. So he's Vasudeva. He's that aspect of Vasudeva. So that aspect, because also Sankarshana is establishing, you know, religious principles and how you say destroying those that are opposed. So it's just he's the perfect example of that. That formalness. Yes.
Can we say that Vasudeva in this context represents the complete Sambandha Yana?
Yes, you could say in this way, he'd be the Sambandha, both the aspect of the existence and the attitude, like that. Then Balaram will be the Abhideya, and Krishna is the Prayojana, in this form.
In this
in this form. Because otherwise, another form, that's in Tattva.
Yeah.
In Rasa, then another aspect of Krishna is existence, or he's the subject, then Radharani is in control of Prayojana and Balaram of Abhideya. He generally, Balaram stays in the same place. He doesn't change. He likes his spot.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of how you're applying.
Yeah.
Because Krishna is each of these positions. So depending on how you're looking at it, then all the positions adjust. So if you're looking at Krishna as Govinda, Gopinath, and Madan Mohan, then everything else adjusts around that. Adhikarana 5.3. Summary. The absolute truth is nirguna Brahman because his worship gives liberation. Sutra reference 117. First reference, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.5. Sutra 117. I can look at the words, I can't read them. That. Give me 1 second. Okay. Tanishtasya moksho pareshat. Because I know it from sound, I can't put the two together. Okay. The Lord is not a manifestation of sattva-guna. Because the scriptures teach that the person who worships the Lord attains liberation from the gunas. Right? Because if you worship the Lord, right, as Vasudeva, then you get liberation. So how could he be within the modes if by worshiping him you get freed from the modes? Right? That wouldn't make sense. Yeah. Govinda Bhashya. The word na, not, should be added to this and the three sutras following. The world existed previously in a subtle form. From that, the visible world became manifest. Right, subtle form. That's the primary creation, because everything's there. It's all happening. So it's how you say. Yeah, because you could say is no, but it's so subtle. But compared to the transcendental, it's pretty gross. Right, yeah. You know. So that's the whole point: is that it exists. From that, then the secondary creation, we get the visible world. The Lord produced Himself. When the jiva becomes established in this Lord who is invisible, without material body, indescribable and independent, he becomes fearless. Like, so we're saying indescribable, but we're using the word indescribable to describe his position of being indescribable. That's the whole point, is that we can say the words mean nothing, but then why are you using words, right? Because words can describe, but it's still the Lord being independent, he reveals himself. Like it says here, the Lord produced himself. Because the question is, where does he come from? He produces himself. Mm-hmm. That's the answer. Then that's where, you know, their head goes.
Yes.
You can't figure out what's like that. You know, like, I had a friend in that when he'd get himself, and he'd somehow or another end up in the wrong neighborhood, and some rough guys would come out like that. He had a friend that then, when they come up and say something to him, he just look at him really sternly and says, "How is it? Thursday's on third base and it's leaking." Yeah. And then they would just sit there. What does that mean? And then he'd walk off, yeah, right? You know, exactly. Get away. That's
brilliant.
That's New York.
Yeah.
That's how you survive.
That's how you make it.
Yeah. So like that. So this is when you say that, then they can't understand what you're saying. You know, this came from the Lord, but where did the Lord come from? No, he produced himself.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
what?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And the word "produce" brings up the idea. The word "produce" brings up the idea that he didn't exist and then he existed.
Yeah, but the point is that he produced himself.
He produced himself.
So. Yeah, so that's the whole point. Then they're just be stuck.
Yeah. There's different aspects of the producing. Someone is creating something that didn't already exist, which doesn't apply to the Lord, but another one is manifesting something that does already exist but is not seen. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it's more in that sense, the Lord manifests himself. He's already there.
Yeah, he's already there. Then for you to be able to appreciate it. Right? Like when they're sitting in the boardroom, it exists, but then the producer manifests it. So then it's they had it, right? So it's visible. So, because through his internal potency, his own energy, he manifests himself. So he always exists, but he exists through his own production. Mm-hmm. That's why he's beyond us. We're energy, is pretty straightforward. Right?
Pretty basic.
Yeah. But at the same time, it is, but not so baby. Don't take it too far.
No, okay.
But then, that masculine principle, that's beyond. We just don't understand that.
Usually we say we don't understand feminine.
Yeah, I was going to say
that. No, but that's why I said don't take it.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to be quiet now.
Means you can't understand the feminine within the feminine.
Yes.
It means that the masculine within the feminine is more understandable than the feminine within the feminine.
Yes.
But the masculine is beyond the feminine. Yeah. That's the one we can't catch. Because that's it. How does he produce himself?
Mm. Does the Lord appear as Lord Chaitanya because the masculine doesn't understand the feminine?
Purpose? Yes, yes. So the Prabhupada said, men will never understand women, women will never understand men. So it's, you can understand enough to cooperate. That's what you can do. Because otherwise, if you understand, then it gets boring. So since eternally you won't understand, therefore the eternal pastimes can go on. Because you know, there's a newer and newer aspects of the masculine, there's newer and newer aspects of the feminine that match that. Right? Where it's a complement. Okay, so when the jiva becomes established in this Lord who is invisible, without material body, indescribable and independent, he becomes fearless. Right? Because we're fearful because of our identification with material energy. As soon as we give up that identification, we identify, you know, we become absorbed in the Lord, that's when we become fearless. Like that. We're fearful because we have a material identity, we're worried about losing that. Right?
Yeah.
But when we give that up, then we're fearless. When the jiva deviates a little from Brahman, he becomes fearful. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7. So that means a little deviation, then immediately fear comes. So one has to be fixed. That's why it always talks about being fixed in understanding the Lord. Because that areas where you're remembering the Lord, those will go well. The areas where you don't remember the Lord, that's where you'll have your problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it is said that a person fixed in the Supreme Brahman, who is beyond matter, who is described in the Vedas, and who is the creator of the universe, attains liberation. Brahman cannot be subject to the gunas, right? So this is the next stage from the last one. It says, well, but, you know, isn't he, that Vasudeva is actually the mode of pure goodness, right? Like that, or the purest of goodness, but still within the material. They're saying, but if that's the case, how by the Upanishad said by meditating upon this Brahman, you can become fearless and go beyond, because that's what they're saying also, the impersonalists. But it says, how could by meditating on Brahman, then if it's material, yeah. So it has to be transcendental. Because we've already established that Brahman means the person.
So these two sutras are answering to the same doubt.
Yes, no, because it's all the same Adhikarana. This is the third step in the Adhikarana. If Brahman were covered by the gunas, the text would not say that a person devoted to Brahman could get liberation. Right? So this is also a problem. They say Brahman becomes covered by the gunas, and that therefore that illusion you get the jiva. But the point is that who's getting liberated here?
Right?
Because if the Lord is covered himself, how did that happen? He's independent. He's covered himself. It's for pastime. What's the need of getting out? He'll do it himself. We're just the illusion. What do we need to work for? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. Footnote 41. In a Bhagavatam purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the prison house of the material world is created by Brahma under instruction of the personality of Godhead. And at the conclusion of a kalpa, the whole thing is destroyed by Shiva. But as far as maintenance of the prison house is concerned, it is done by Vishnu, as much as the state prison house is maintained by the state. Anyone, therefore, wishes to get out of this prison house of material existence, which is full of miseries like repetition of birth, death, disease, and old age, must please Lord Vishnu for such liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.23 purport. Yeah. So, it's about pleasing the Lord. You please the Lord, you can get out. You don't please the Lord, you can't get out. Because the prison's maintained by Vishnu, not by Shiva. Right? Not by Maya, because where does she get her potency from? Right? You could say, well, the prison warden is maintaining it, but where does he get his authority and potency from? Right? You know, he's being paid. It's not that he's being paid by his own money and maintaining it by his own. No. So, yeah. Also, it's interesting. You know, one considers, how you say, really serious criminal, you know, he ends up with, you know, 437, you know, life sentences or something weird like that, you know. But how many lifetimes have we been here? So what's the position of how much of a criminal, right? You know, unlimited lifetimes, you know.
Take him away.
Yeah, so it's like... means we're in that liberated state, but we won't become fearless until we act in that fearless state. Okay, let us say like this. The businessman has a solid plan, business plan. Right? So that means technically he's in a position where he has money. Right? Because he can take that plan, present it to investors, and they'll give him money. But does he have the money? He has to do something to get the money. So, in other words, we get that faith in Krishna, Shraddha. So we are on the liberated platform. But the point of practically being liberated in our own consciousness, then you have to make the endeavor. Does that make sense? Because the existence has three aspects, right? Just the existence itself, then the endeavor itself, and then the result, and that experience. So when you become fearless, means you've gotten the result because you're consistent in your absorption in Brahman, right? But the state of existence is that the soul anyway is eternally liberated. It never is not. But because of polluted consciousness, the living entity thinks that they're. That's why polluted consciousness is the 24th element. Right? It's not part of the soul. Right? So that one can think I'm the controller and enjoyer, that's part of the material. Otherwise, how do you take part? You don't have that, technically you're not part of the material world. You know what I'm saying? Yes, means one's, yes. The point is your consciousness. You're conscious on Krishna, then one is acting within that. Because one can be, but one has to act. You know what I'm saying? Just being liberated is not enough. You have to actually act. You know what I'm saying? It's not a well-known thing these days. You know, someone has a position of authority, but then they have to act. They think just because they're in the position, everything should happen. In fact, they shouldn't even have to dictate. Everyone should just know. Right?
Understand?
Yes.
Understand. In name only.
Yes. Maybe we should make a rubber stamp that says in name.
In name only.
Pass them out. Okay. Bhagavatam verses 1088.5. Lord Hari, however, has no connection with the material modes. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-seeing eternal witness, who is transcendental to material nature. One who worships him becomes similarly freed from the material modes. Right? So he's transcendental. You worship him, then you become transcendental. That's the whole thing. You don't become him, you just become transcendental.
Well, sometimes the same argument is used in the reverse. If the devotees are transcendental, then he must be transcendental.
Yeah. You could use it that way also. You know, for, just depends on the audience. Like, see these previous points that you're talking from Upanishads and things like that. That is so that you establish his position in the Veda and the point. But actually for the devotees, the Bhagavatam verse is enough. But because we're dealing with those who doubt that position, therefore then you take it farther back. But otherwise it's an authority. It is the conclusion. Right? But some people want to hear farther back. Okay, footnote 42. In this connection, Srila Sridhar Swami cites the following passage from the Vedic literature. When the absolute reality associates with the modes of nature, he assumes two different kinds of forms in this world, according to whether his spiritual qualities are manifest or not. Thus he acts just like a reflection and its further secondary reflection. Right, so you have something reflected, and then you get it. You know, it's reflected off one place, and then it ends up somewhere else. Like the I think it was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was talking about the sun is there, then it comes and reflects off water in the room, and then there's the sun on the wall. So like that is you get the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, whose individual natures are peaceful, violent, and foolish, are personally regulated by Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva, respectively. Interesting. Peaceful, violent, and foolish. A mode of passion ends up in violence.
Yeah, always ends up ghastly scenes.
Yeah.
Prabhupada says.
Yeah.
Ghastly scenes.
Ghastly.
Love affairs end up in ghastly
scenes. Yeah. Lord Vishnu's peaceful mode of goodness does not differ substantially from his original spiritual qualities, although it is only a partial manifestation of them within this world. So the mode of goodness is a partial manifestation of pure goodness. So he takes control of goodness, because the point is his goodness, it's about stability. See, to start something and then leave it, you know, I've done it, okay, and sit back, that's easy enough. Or to finish something and then sit back. But to maintain something, that's the hard part. Therefore, no one can do that. No one has that position, because there's always some passion or ignorance. So how will they do? So, because he's in pure goodness, he can take care of goodness.
We say usually that there are no modes in the spiritual world.
Yes.
But there's always a prototype of something,
yes,
in the primary creation that,
yes,
exists in the spiritual world. What doesn't exist?
Yes.
It's not possible that something is here which is not there.
Yeah, so you're Samvit Ladini and Sandini. That's your, where it's from. But here we make the distinction because we're trying to analyze and get from the platform of karma to jnana and then to the bhakti, right? So, but in the spiritual world, since it's all transcendental and it's all about Krishna's satisfaction, that non-dual aspect, then no one makes the distinction. Like there, no one makes the distinction between internal potency and the jivas. And in the same way, you don't make distinction between, within the internal potency, what's Samvit, so what's Sandini, and what's Ladini. Does that make sense? You just, so it's not necessary. You can, for our study of it, but on the platform of tattva, you can distinguish what's happening there. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's done. You see, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll get into a lot of that. Now here we're looking at the modes more and things. We get into the pastimes, we see the technicalities, how that applies here. one's understanding about the pastimes, and how now we'll apply these technical points of Krishna consciousness in our life. Right? Before that, it's more about understanding the difference between matter and spirit and what's pure devotion. Then once hearing about the Lord's pastimes, then it's now how to apply all that previous, the first nine cantos of knowledge, having known the tenth canto. Right? You know, it's just like you have third chapter of Karma Yoga, then fifth chapter of Jnana Yoga, and then this, third, fourth, then fifth chapter is combining the two, action and Krishna consciousness. Right? So that principle, then we see is you have the first nine cantos, which we're distinguishing between matter, spirit, karma, jnana, and bhakti. Right? Then hearing the pastimes, now having that knowledge with the pastimes, that combination, then the 11th canto shows us how to apply it on that subtler platform. Right? Does that make sense? Chaitanya Charitamrita will continue that, but what it's offering now is understanding how all this applies, you know, within our life, you know, as Gaudiya, and then taking it into how it functions in the spiritual world. So that will, I say, coming attraction. Yes, yes.
Stay tuned.
Yes.
In regard to Maharaj's question, there's also the aspect of time in the Lord's pastimes for his pleasure, for the Leela.
Yeah.
And here, time being in control, generating past, present, future, creation and destruction, hence passion and ignorance.
Yes, yes.
Manifesting from there.
So you were just saying is that time there doesn't do that.
Yes, but because there's no creation, no destruction. But here, because time causes creation and destruction, then there must be passion, there must be ignorance.
There's ignorance, yeah. Because there it's only a flavor. So, yeah, because he wants to dance for a longer period of time than just the night's longer, that's all.
Yes. Being practical.
Yeah, it's practical. You know, and probably when Jatila shows up, the time goes really fast. You know? She just walks in, you know. She walks in at 2 o'clock and, wow, it's already 7.
Look at the time.
You know, like, oh, no. But it's only seemed like a moment.
Kind of opposite here.
Yeah.
Something horrible
happens,
time slows down.
Slows down, yeah. Yeah.
So there it's not always time flies when you're having fun.
No, there's... Time, yeah,
Time slows down when you're having
fun. Yeah. So that's the point. Spiritual world's better.
Jatila showing up is also kind of fun.
That's there, depending upon how the arrangement is.
Sometimes.
Yes. It's
very humorous fun.
Yeah, can be. Yes. Okay. Thus, Lord Vishnu's mode of goodness is never tainted by agitation in passion or delusion in ignorance. So that's the point. He's in control of the material mode of nature, but his mode of goodness is never tinged by passion and ignorance. Right? The material mode of goodness has passion and ignorance in it. That's why it's material mode. You remove passion and ignorance, that's pure goodness. That's the transcendental position. That's Vasudeva.
Is it the same way with Jiva and Brahma, that they are not affected by the modes of
ignorance? No, you see, they become affected. Because they're dealing in the mode. They're very powerful. You know, they're dealing with, you know, it's like, you know, we're bumping into a small portion of it. They're dealing with the whole package. Yeah. You know. Because they're not independent. It's still by Krishna's grace that they are able to perform their duties. Right? So their function is there. Their function is connection with the Lord. Not he's independent. They're not. Okay. Now generally we see they're not, but occasionally they are. Just it establishes their, you know, Vishnu supremacy. By the modes of passion and ignorance, on the other hand, the original spiritual qualities of Lord Brahma and Lord Rudra are obscured. Thus, these spiritual qualities appear only partially as separated material qualities. Okay, so here's where you're talking about these original. Is you have the original, but because of the effect of the modes, therefore, then they manifest a certain portion of the original. Right? So they're controlling of Brahma and Shiva. So right here it mentions they become. The original spiritual qualities, Lord Brahma and Lord Rudra, are obscured. So you don't see what's the nature of that original, what's the creative factor and the destructive factors. So therefore, that becomes obscured.
Mm.
Right? So I say.
Yes.
Therefore, focusing one's consciousness upon Lord Vishnu, the embodiment of all goodness, leads one to liberation. Such God consciousness also generates material success as a byproduct, but its proper nature is pure spiritual ecstasy. That's the actual nature. Is bhava. Right, it's the natural, you have the sthayi bhav, vibhav, anubhav, sattvika bhav, and sanchari bhavs. That's the natural nature of the spiritual position. Right? Does that make sense? But you get material success as a byproduct. So that means, you see, in the spiritual world is that Mother Yashoda is cooking for Krishna, she ends up with a preparation, but the point is it's about that devotion. So because it's about the devotion, therefore what she cooks is pure nectar. This is just love of Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it has these two, but there's a non-difference. Here, then, once performing bhakti, the secondary comes. That's just a byproduct. You get that anyway. But we're thinking that, if we just get it as a byproduct, it can't be good as if it's the primary thing. But the point is because the primary is actually so great, that love of Krishna, that bhakti, therefore, the secondary that comes will be, as good as it gets. But due to passion and ignorance, then we'll think, no, we have to work separately for that and we'll get more.
Yeah.
But it's not like that. It's just like you have a coconut, right? And you take off the husk. You want to get the coconut, you get husk as just a byproduct. And from that you can make rope, you can cook, you can do so many different things, scrub pots, like whatever you like. Now, we're thinking, but we have to focus on the coconuts. So how much husk could we actually get? Now, if we just focused on the husk, wouldn't we get more? Right? It seems logical. But at the same time, where's the husk from? It's the husk of coconuts. So therefore, material byproducts are just what comes from the byproducts of bhakti. So actually, then an intelligent person just focuses on bhakti, doesn't worry about that. That's what the seventh canto is trying to explain. Is you don't have to worry about trying to get the effect of your duties, right? Because we're performing our duties, but we're not worried about the effect. It means, other than mechanically we're applying ourselves, so we're seeing that how that matches with the results that comes from those mechanics that we're doing, but we're not worried about getting the benefit. We're simply worrying about Krishna. You serve Krishna, he being the complete whole, how much will be there? You separate from Krishna, then you get out your magnifying glass and tweezers. but if you're dealing with everything's about Krishna, then it's unlimited. Right? Does that make sense? But as soon as you're looking at the unlimited, then you're not looking at Krishna. So therefore, it's not there. It's just like you surrender the spiritual master, the material world becomes the size of a calf's hoofprint. If you don't, it's unlimited. So it's like that. If you're Krishna, then all this comes along with it. If you're not, then nothing comes with it. Then go out and work. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so enter. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai,
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai,
Jainitai Gaura Premadi.